You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 70, down in Cabo. Well, the date of this podcast, I would be saying, just got back from Cabo San Lucas. So that was a few months ago. Not every news story in this episode is about my vacation in Cabo. I just thought it was a good title. So, you know, a good positive title. So, in fact, yeah, only this week's shameless plug is about Cabo. So, you know, just a fun title. Like I said, the rest of the news stories are topical as of the end of April, first part of May. So... And with that, let's start the news. Baltimore brings charges against cops for treatment against Freddie Gray. So six police officers were indicted on negligence of failing to care for Freddie Gray, who died on April 19th after a week of being in police custody. He wasn't properly situated and restrained while being transported in a police van after his arrest, which was based on the fact that he fled a scene with no probable cause for being arrested. Yeah, there's a lot of different questions about this whole thing. So his death was related to spinal cord injuries after being dragged and tossed about, thrown into a police van, and police ignoring his pleas of pain and injury for 7 days. Good God, 7 days, you know. He went in and out of comas before finally passing away on April 19th. So the state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, held a press conference announcing the charges, but did not take questions. So, you know, some people wanted to ask questions, but she didn't. She just pretty much, they did their research quickly and efficiently and determined that this was there was probable cause for the police using this type of abuse here. So people that are supporting these officers were shocked and dismayed. Oh my gosh, you know, we need to support police officers at every cost. None of them, they're all perfect. They never make mistakes. They never abuse people. These criminals, they asked for it. Why did he run? You know, anyway, so another time, another story. I probably ranted about that already in previous episodes. So those who do question that the abuse of power are wanting answers why police are able to bring down this kind of treatment for a nonviolent arrest, you know, let alone, you know, the sketchiness of the arrest issues, you know, sometimes wrong place, wrong time, you know, that sucks, but, you know, you shouldn't be end up dead over something like this, you know. So again, this is happening way too often, and... We need to stop this. This is ridiculous. Police are held to a higher standard. Of course they are, you know. I mean, most, if not all, police officers choose their profession. So, you know, I get that they put their lives in danger. No one's questioning that. What they're questioning is when this type of abuse that goes on, you know, for no reason whatsoever, you know. So, you know, at least in this case, there was no time wasted over the charges, which was nice. You know, didn't waste months, weeks, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, riots and protests took a huge toll on Baltimore, Maryland, and there was a lot of concern of it turning into Ferguson, Missouri. You know, the governor, officials and everything like that really tried to make this, to keep it down to a minimum. It's hard, you know, when things like this happen. You know, people are concerned. People like to protest, you know, and they like to have their voices known that they don't, you know, there's a lot of people, they don't want to end up dead just for some simple arrest or you're at the wrong place or wrong time or any of that kind of thing. So, you know, the officers will have their day in court on this in July. So we shall see what happens after this. So I'll update in another episode, any issues and things like that of what, you know, where this case is going then. Tesla, the electric car company, announces a product called Powerwall, a battery power unit for homes. The electric car company has ventured past the driveway, but not too far, as this Powerwall battery installs in the garage. So for an installed cost of $7,000, which includes the actual cost of $3,500 for the battery system, the installation and the inverter that connects the battery to the power grid of the home. So all that, you know, all your installation, all that, you know, setup and getting it, you know, connected and everything. So $7,000. Okay. I don't know. You know, most homes are, you know, $200,000, $250,000 for, you know, on average for, you know, a, in this day for, you know, cost of a house. So $7,000 for an investment, you know, it could be a good deal. I think it's a positive step towards the right direction here. So Solar City is the vendor that will help with the installs for this. They are a major solar power company. And so obviously there's, you know, they have other options here. So there's a much grander option to go completely off the grid and combine power wall with solar panels. You know, hey, you know, nice power marriage here. So the cost for that approaches $100,000. You know, that's where you really have to question, like, where do you live? You know, it's a great thing, especially, you know, if you live in an area that has frequent power outages, or you live out in the, you know, out in rural area or something like that, you know. And, you know, it's nice to have, you know, to get your reliance off normal power, you know, and go, you know, renewable energy with solar. So, hey, it's an option. It's a good combination here. So, you know, it's a much cleaner, greener option for those that don't want to install gas power generators, which is common for people that live in certain areas that have serious power issues and need power all the time. So Elon Musk, head of Tesla, is on a quest to help us use more renewable energy in all aspects of powering our lives, you know, electric cars, this power wall for the home, solar energy, obviously. So, you know, so it might take a good number of years still. You know, he's making a good start with his cars and now this home power unit. So I think eventually once people start getting this installed and, you know, there'll be more reviews, there'll be people that try to poke holes in it and everything like that, which, you know, okay, that's fine. That's going to happen, you know. But, you know, I'd be curious to see where this goes, you know, give it a couple more years and see, you know, how many people actually pony up for something like this. Nepal earthquake takes over 9,000 lives, the injured are well over 23,000. So this happened in April. You know, I'm recording this now in first part of August here, but this story back in April. So I'm kind of, you know, I adjusted the lives, you know, back when it first happened, the earthquake. You know, the death toll went up a lot, you know, day after day, you know, hundreds would add to it. So this was the worst natural disaster since 1934, the deadliest day in the history of Mount Everest, when the earthquake triggered an avalanche that killed at least 19 people that were on the mountain. I mean, there's always people on the mountain, you know, the Sherpas helping people get to the top of Everest and everything like that. So, yeah, kind of sucks. I mean, and, you know, that an avalanche taking people that weren't killed by the natural resources or cause of the mountain, you know, which is cold and everything like that. So the magnitude of the quake was anywhere between 7.8 and 8.1 on the Richter scale. So the epicenter was near and around the area of Kathmandu. That whole area there just devastated me. You look at some of these pictures and stuff, it's just absolutely incredible what a natural disaster like this can do and you know, take out, you know, an entire area, not just a city, but an entire area. So as the days went on, more and more lost lives were being accounted for, as, you know, I've, you know, updated with the beginning, over 9,000 lives lost. The intense amount of worldwide outpouring increased as each day passed. You know, it's hard to imagine such a natural disaster in 2015 that could take this many lives, you know, but hey, you know, the earth shifts and everything like that. So, you know, donors are still collecting money, as this will be years and years of rebuilding Nepal and the region. So my heart and thoughts go out to those who have not only lost their lives, but families who have lost loved ones. Yeah, it's just sad. You know, rebuilding is going to take years, like I said. And so hopefully things will get to that point, you know, over the years. But again, a loss. This week's rant, the GOP clown car, or as I like to call it, clown van, is getting quite full. So, again, this is, you know, for end of April, first part of May. So, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, Carly Fiorina, and many others are cramming themselves in their loony ideas. They might just become president someday, and they're all crammed into this, what we've called the clown car, you know, the, oh my gosh, you know. So, come January 20th, 2017, you know, so... You know, like I said, my friend, actually, I give credit to the clown van. My friend John mentioned that as well. So, you know, so all cramming themselves into this clown van, heading for the edge of the cliff. Yeah. I laugh, you know, I shouldn't, because it's kind of, you know, some of these people have loony ideas that think that they're serious and that they'd like to change how things are in this country, you know. So, you know, how many of these wannabe world leaders have any sort of logical solutions on how to run a country? Not much. I'm not sure. I don't think that there's much reason or logic that goes into some of these decisions of theirs. A lot of it's based on religion. A lot of it's based on power. A lot of it's based on greed. But I can guarantee that most don't care about the $325 million they will represent if elected. All but one will be gone come primary season a year from now. So, you know, the primaries will help get people down, you know, whittle these guys down, and, you know, eventually come next year, next election time, there'll be one Democratic candidate and one Republican candidate. So, and whoever remains will end up spending more money than they should to vie for the office of U.S. president. So I can't think of anything more idiotic than a bunch of people competing for something they don't really want, except for the prominence it brings them personally. So the collective U.S. population gives a sigh of, oh, well. This week's shameless plug. So I really do like spending time in Cabo San Lucas. So this is my second time in Cabo San Lucas, Baja California, Mexico. The first time was in May of 2013. So the first time I went, my wife and I had went, a little bit of backstory here. My wife and I went on an Alaskan cruise in June of 2012. Well, part of that cruise came with a free week that we could go. You know, we just had to get to Cabo, but we had a free week to stay at the Wyndham Resort on the marina there in Cabo San Lucas. You know, while we were there, you know, of course, you go to these places, you get sucked into timeshare presentations galore. You know, the goal is to try and get some type of, you know, excursions out of it, which we did. But we ended up buying timeshare at the Playa Grande, so which is where we stayed this year. And this year we went at the end of April. So it was, so we did, you know, the Playa Grande, which is nice. You know, it's a really cool resort, you know. I mean, we had gone there before when we were there. They gave us like a day pass, and we went over to, you know, a couple times with to the pool. And the resort's like right on the Pacific Ocean, which you can't swim in. It's you know, swimming wise, it's very harsh as far as conditions go. So, but, you know, I talked about excursions that we got. So we got more excursions this time. We did another timeshare presentation. So we went zip lining. I went zip lining the first time, and I'm scared shitless. Oh, my God. I have a fear of heights. So this time we went again to another place, and I was much less nervous. I actually enjoyed it. Speaking of enjoying, I enjoyed drinking in all sorts of places. Including on a boat that took us to go snorkeling. We had a yacht cruise that we went on our last night there. Open bar. I love my open bars. We spent time on the beach, time in the sun, time at the pool. Pool area was pretty cool. They had, from a certain time throughout the day, speaking of drinking, they had 2-for-1, you know. So, you know, there's just regular liquor, so I tried to stick to just like vodka, which, you know, not as, you know, well, vodka is not as harsh. So I'd love to go back more often, but, you know, it's a time money thing. So, you know, we have the timeshare there, we can go stay and stuff. You know, it's not too big of a deal. Just have to get there. You know, plane fares are about I forget how much we spent, like $420, I think, or something like that. So, you know, so until I head back again, you know, I'll be enjoying my memories of my time in Cabo. So, yeah. So if any of you have ever been to Cabo San Lucas, it's really cool. It's a great place to hang. A lot of fun places to go, a lot of good stuff. But yeah, so if you, have an opportunity to go, if you haven't been, go enjoy Mexico. I miss the tequila. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.